good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, here at the Royal Palm Association of Churches, and I am just so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for about 28 years now, and oh, what a joy it is just to come and sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us through His Word. And if you've been with us, you know we just started a new series just a couple of weeks ago or so called Empowered Godliness. The overarching theme is out of 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, where it talked about how men will be lovers of self and lovers of money, and then in verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. So we're taking a journey of how we have been settling for external godliness, that is, trying to be godly on the outside without dealing with the inside. We've settled for educated godliness, you know, doing Christianity and the faith life from the head rather than from the heart. But the Lord has a yearning for us to discover empowered godliness. So as we continue our journey, after looking at how it starts within the empowered presence of the Lord, and then secondly, empowered methods, which is what we talked about last week. Today, the Lord is taking me to a place of seeing Acts chapter 3 as a theme that I am calling empowered healings. My friends, you cannot experience empowered godliness in life until you are receiving the empowered healings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to see as we see the story unfold in Acts chapter 3. And I want to share with you three types of healings that the Lord yearns for you to experience as you walk with Him in experiencing empowered godliness, as you're experiencing empowered healing. And as we get started, as is our custom, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I tell you what, this is a very exciting topic to me, because this topic of healing is so misunderstood by so many, and our expectation levels can get off the charts sometimes, and our discouragement level about healings can also go off the charts sometimes. So, Lord, as we just kind of look at this, hopefully from your perspective, seeing how you want us to experience empowered healing, and in so doing, we are walking in empowered godliness, I pray you'll just kind of open our hearts just to receive what you have for us today, to maybe make some sense out of some confusion that we might have on the whole subject of divine healing. So thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, my friends, if you have your Bible handy, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to be going through much of that story. As we set that up, as we get ready to take a journey through it, let me just kind of remind you that, or maybe educate you, that there's actually there's six different healing models that are out there in Christian circles. You know, you have the deliverance model that basically says most of, if not all of illness is because of demonic presence, so you need to be delivered. And then there are those that there's the faith and proclaiming model. That is, it's your faith. You got to proclaim it to receive your healing. Then you have those who have a liturgical model, that are certain sacraments of the church that need to be administered for healing to come. Then fourth, there's the healing team model, where you form healing teams to go and lay hands on people or anoint them with oil or pray over them, sometimes calling in the elders of the church, as it says in James. So there's a great emphasis on healing teams, and that's the pathway of divine healing from above. And then the fifth is the inner healing model, and that's the idea that if you deal with things in the inner heart and the wounds and all of those things, that physical healing will follow. And then you have what I call the third wave model of healing, where in the last 20, 30 years or so, there's kind of been more of an interwovenness in the model kind of all of the above kind of thing. And honestly, that's kind of where I am. I think there's a blend and balance between all of these. There are incidents throughout the scriptures that illustrate these. Our problem is that we tend to want to formalize how divine healing works. And everybody has a different formula. These models will give you a different formula. But I'm just going to tell you right up front, I do believe there's a blend and balance of them that is the answer here. So with that in mind, now let's go to the text and see what we can pick up here. And then I'll give you a lot of other text references as we go along. All right? Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer." By the way, I like that. People of prayer. I mean, we talked about it in the empowered presence as a starting place for empowered godliness, that practicing prayer, the ongoing conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit, that's the starting place of an intimacy and abiding that everything else will spring from. Verse 2, "And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, 'Look at us.' And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk.' Now verse 7, "And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright. He began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk?'" By the way, let me just stop there a moment. This is a key phrase. Why do you gaze at us as if our own power, we don't have any power, our own piety, our own godliness is what that means, or even faith level, you know, that's not so much it. Then he goes on in verse 16. "And on the basis of faith in his name," whose name? Jesus' name. "On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him." Who? The faith that comes through Jesus. Underline that one. Highlight it. We're going to see that this is a faith-based scenario that's going on here in the matter of healing, but not in the way that sometimes is taught, as if the faith of the individual is the primary key. I believe this passage is telling us the primary key is not in men, it's not our own power, it's not our own piety. It's on the basis of faith through him, through Jesus, the faith that comes through Jesus. Look at it again. "And the faith which comes through him has given," or him meaning Jesus, "has given him," that is this man who had been crippled, "that's what's given him perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away. There's your spiritual healing, by the way, in order that times of refreshing, there's emotional healing, may come from the presence of the Lord. So far we see physical healing, we see spiritual healing, and we see emotional healing. Now, my friend, what the Lord has just put on my heart today to share with you about this whole topic of empowered healing as one of the pathways to living a life of empowered godliness is this matter of healing, but not just physical healing. We're talking about spiritual healing, first of all, emotional healing, and physical healing, all of which are faith-based, but not in the way that you may be thinking. Not as if you have to drum up a sense of faith that is, oh, I'm not going to doubt at all. I'm just going to believe as hard as I can. And if I do it enough, strong enough, or deep enough, Jesus will go, wow, there it is. Now I'm going to heal you. All right. That tends to be the popular reflexive understanding. I'm here to share with you, I don't believe that's what this is saying here at all. You see, it's more, has to do way more about living a lifestyle, a gospel lifestyle of faith in the Lord, which we're actually receiving from Him, and then it is coming back out through us. There's a kind of a cycle thing. To the degree we abide in Him, receiving His faith, and our faith is being measured out in our own heart and life, it is in that particular cyclical relational connection with the Lord on an ongoing basis that provides the impetus for healing that's faith-based, as opposed to the lack of healing when Jesus sees no faith. But it's not like you hold the key. You are the one that has to drum up the faith. That's why I love that passage. Once again, back in verse 12, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you gaze at us? As if by our own power or piety or faith we made him well. Yeah, there's a faith thing that's going on in us, which we're going to see in a moment. But it's because of faith that comes from the Lord and in his name that we have gotten it. And then it cycles back and God honors that. All right, I know this might be a little confusing. So let's just kind of break it down. If you're a note taker, three things I want to highlight about this thing of empowered healing. First of all, empowered healing comes from faith-based spiritual healing. Verse 19, repent, therefore, and return that your sins may be wiped away. You know, sometimes in some circles of Christianity, they like to quote a passage out of the Old Testament and New Testament that says that by his stripes, that is Jesus' stripes on the cross, by his stripes you are healed, and make that the basis of physical healing. Well, yes and no. Not in sense of a magic incantation or a magic covenant promise you can claim and boom, there you have your healing. I know sometimes people can understand it that way. When Jesus is talking about by his stripes you're healed, and that healing is in the atonement, well, it's popularized as physical healing being in the atonement. That's a dimension of it. The greater truth is, by his stripes you are spiritually healed. You are saved. You are born again. Your sins are wiped away. You become one with the Lord God. You become the bride of Christ. You become the child of God. You become born again. You become adopted as sons and daughters. There's so many metaphors in the scripture talking about faith-based healing. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. There it is. Faith is a gift of God, and it's not of works. You don't work your way to this. Listen, if you're trying to drum up enough faith, trying to drum up a no doubt, that's a work. That's not what this is talking about, either in spiritual healing, which is salvation, or emotional healing, or physical healing, which we'll get to in a moment. My friend, I want you to have the good news that your empowered godliness comes through empowered, faith-based, spiritual healing. It's the salvation thing. repent. Even your awareness that you need to turn from your wicked ways and turn toward the Lord God on the cross. Even that is a gift from above. The Bible says no one comes to the Father unless the Father draw him. The Bible says that we are blinded by the god of this world over in the book of Ephesians, so our eyes must be open. That's a supernatural thing. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, at the end there it says that we need to escape from the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. It's spiritual healing that's first and foremost, and it is faith-based. We see that all over the scriptures. In fact, over in Galatians, there's a time when the Galatians began to draw on works to try to feel more sanctified or more holy or more pleasing or more loved by God. He says, oh, you foolish Galatians, what you began in the Spirit by faith, do you think you're going to continue by works? Hello? So, we know, we're pretty conversant on the fact that spiritual healing is faith-based. But guess what? In similar manner, emotional healing is faith-based. And I love that, times of refreshing. You know, when you have wounds and hurts, when you feel violated or victimized, when you are bitter and angry, those are not times of refreshing. Times of refreshing come when you experience faith-based emotional healing, when you let the Lord take you on a journey of the heart, and often he'll use a counselor or a pastor or a mate or a best friend or a mentor or a teacher, somebody that can guide you through all of those wounds that have been making you half-hearted and broken-hearted. Emotional healing for times of refreshing is a faith-based journey as well. When you trust the Lord to speak through people, speak through counseling, speak through prayer and Bible study, to help you see the degree to which you might be operating way more in reflexive agitation and pain, to being lightly touched on open wounds on your arm or leg, or in this case, in your heart. And it's trumping your giftedness, it's trumping your vision, it's trumping your joy, it's trumping your love relationships and sense of intimacy. And the Lord yearns for you not just to be experiencing faith-based spiritual healing. He wants you to experience faith-based emotional healing as well. And when we do, Scripture says there's wisdom in the counsel of many. And faithful are the wounds of the friend. In that sense, the wound that says, I got to be honest with you. Here's some things that are going on in your life. May I share them with you? And it is true that as we go through emotional healing, inner healing, physical healing will often follow. In fact, I have a whole series on this healing thing. We're just going to do one message today. 21 biblical reasons why we may be sick. And we talk about some of the blocks to healing, and some of them have to do with internal woundedness and attitudes that keep the healing from being manifested. Sometimes that's the key. But in this case, we're zeroing in a little bit more on this overarching principle of faith-based spiritual healing, faith-based emotional healing. Now let's look at this faith-based physical healing. In chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture says, as we read a moment ago, that on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through Jesus has given this man his perfect health. So there you have it. This is so important. This, to me, is the real key to understanding all the other passages to talk about people having faith. This is telling us that the faith that the people have, that Jesus notices, initially actually comes through him. It's through this kind of a gift from above kind of a thing. And Jesus is saying, wow, look at this. I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. This person really has been listening to me and buying into what I'm saying and walking it out. And I can see it in their heart and their life. So it's not like they have to drum up no doubt and strong belief for that instant to get the healing. It's a lifestyle that's being cultivated in the presence of the Lord, as we talked about previously, that Jesus is noticing and honoring and often bringing physical healing as a follow-up to spiritual and emotional healing. So let me give you some examples. Again, if you're taking notes, over in Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 through 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it shall happen. And all things you ask," here it is, "in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Now, to me, with the overarching principle from Acts 3, that faith which comes through Jesus, here when we pray and we ask the Lord, what does he intend to do? And he gives us a sense of what he's going to do. And we have faith that what that we're hearing is true and that we believe it. Then that is the way that the healing will come. It's not because we've drummed it up. It's because we're hearing what he's intending to do and we walk in it. Faith is acting on what you say you believe. Everything else is just religious verbiage. Faith is acting on what you say you believe. And when you ask in prayer, you're communing with the Lord. You're abiding in Christ. You're marinating in him. And he's telling you he intends to heal you of this or heal you of that. And you believe it and walk it and receive it, I believe your healing will come. Now, he doesn't always say yes to physical healing. Paul asked about his thorn in the flesh 3 times, and the Lord said, "No, my grace is sufficient. In this case, it is sufficient." Now, again, this is covered in more detail in the healing series, but I just wanted to give you a glimpse of this principle. So now, with that in mind, and also thinking about how in Mark chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household." And he could not do, he could do no miracle there except that he laid hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. So sometimes it's because of people's unbelief that there will be no miracles. They're not communing with the Lord. They're not in a position to receive the message that I intend to heal you if you'll just ask for it. They don't. They don't hear it. So they don't pray it. So they don't get it. But again, it's not like the onus is on you. You got to drum up the faith. No, it comes from above, but you got to be listening and you got to be responding. So in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, Jesus said to the woman with the bleeding hemorrhage, "Your faith has made you well." In Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 and following, he says to the blind man, "Be it done according to your faith." Luke 17, verse 11, to one of 10 lepers who received the healing, he said, "Well, your faith has made you well." Matthew 15, verses 21 and following, the possessed daughter says to the mother, "Your faith is great. That's why I'm honoring the daughters." In the case of the centurion, in Luke 7, 2 through 10, who asked that the Lord heal his servant, and the Lord said, "Okay, I'll come and heal him." And the centurion said, "No, just say the word, and I know he'll be healed." Jesus said, "That is such great faith in all of Israel. Wow." You see, it's not even faith by the one who's sick. It's faith in somebody else. Jesus honors those who are cultivating a lifestyle of trusting him, having faith in him, believing in the things he's been teaching and sharing with them And he loves to honor it often through physical healing, but not always. Matthew chapter 21, if you have faith, pray, believe, and you can move mountains. But again, Mark 6, but there are no miracles. Few were healed. Why? Due to their unbelief. So my friend, I hope you'll understand that empowered healing is not so much something that comes in a one-time thing, drumming up enough faith. It's a lifestyle of cultivated interaction and communion and trust in the Lord. As He shares more with you, He is His faith He's bestowing upon you, and then you act upon that as an act of receiving it. You don't drum up faith. Now that I have enough faith, Lord, you have to heal me. It doesn't work that way. It's an ongoing, cyclical conversation in the Lord by His empowered presence. He's right there with you. You're having this ongoing conversation with Him and abiding in Him, and it is going to result in empowered healing spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and certainly not be reduced to some kind of gimmick or model at all. It is a blended and balanced approach to seeing how the Lord wants you to cultivate a spirit of faith and how He'll honor that more and more. Well, Father, we're just so blessed for how you do desire for us to experience empowered healing from above, and we don't want to reduce it to a simple formula. We just want to trust in you and receive whatever you have for us. Thank you, sir. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, until next time, keep conversing with the Lord and walk in His faith.